Welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. As we say each week, we love hearing from all of you, your comments, your stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Right along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. And if you are like us, we are right there with you going through the dog days of summer. I know they say they don't kick off until August 1st, but let me tell you, the last couple of weeks, we've seen some dog days, wouldn't you say, Tigger?
Record-breaking heat.
Yeah.
At least in our neck of the woods.
Absolutely. So when this crossed my feed, and Tigger hates it when I use that phrase, but regardless, I did not realize that July was National Ice Cream Month, and I'm bringing this up because Tigger and I, a few years back, ice cream makers were all the rage, and we had gotten ourselves one, and like many of you, we became one of those kitchen appliances that gets put in the corner and covered in dust. Well, when we started hitting triple digits here the other weeks, a couple weeks ago, I dug that sucker out. We'll put it that way, right, Tigger? And we have had more fun making homemade ice cream this last month.
Oh, it is. I'm going to say it's so much better than stuff that we have got at the store because we can kind of make our own little concoctions, which is what we've done.
Exactly. That's why I'm sharing this, is that it has become actually one of our kind of like a date night fun thing we do. We make at least 1 to 2 quarts a week of homemade ice cream, I would say, is what we're averaging.
That is a lot of ice cream. But I mean, it doesn't yield a whole lot when you think about it. After one of those mixes that you have that has that flavor. And then we'll kind of do different things like add cookies in it, like Oreo cookies, and that will give it a little bit different flair, something like that.
Exactly. So it takes, like, if you're wondering, like, our machine takes 2 cups of milk, 2 cups of cream, plus whatever flavoring. We tend to cheat instead of make our own homemade flavorings. Mm-hmm. You can do that,
and
they're really
easy.
Just Google it. But we just buy the packets, and
but then we modify the packets.
That's the key. We modify them. And when I say we use milk, by the way, we're making this as a higher protein ice cream. Who would have thought that would work? But it does. See, there's some health incentives to this.
Okay, but it's not like there's that much protein difference in it. I mean, come on, let's be real. It's not like we're substituting what we should be getting protein from our steak because we're eating ice cream. Come on. That's something you've been saying yourself to make yourself feel better because you've been eating ice cream every night for the past month.
I know, and I keep telling him, but it's high in protein. Yeah. Fine.
Very little.
But there you have it. If you're looking for something to do with the kids, the grandkids, I'm just telling you, or even as a date night fun, those machines are not very expensive. They're very inexpensive. You can get them at Walmart, Target, any of the big brand stores.
And how long does it take, roughly? Maybe what? 30 minutes, if even that, start to finish, and you've got homemade ice cream?
Yeah, the prep work is maybe 5 minutes. You throw it in the machine with ice and rock salt that makes it even colder. Anyway, I would say the churning time ends up being around 30 to 40 minutes.
If that. Yeah. If that.
Fun activity. Give it a try. Now, speaking of July, I wanted to bring back this 25-year flashback, okay? It's hard to believe, but we are celebrating 25 years ago when actor Harrison Ford saved a missing 13-year-old Boy Scout, Cody Clausen, in Yellowstone National Park as a volunteer rescue pilot. I had no idea that Harrison Ford was a volunteer rescue pilot. I mean, I know and I've known that he has had his aviation license for a very long time.
I didn't know that.
But if you remember with this story, the teen had become separated from his troop and spent the night in a cave. The next morning, the Boy Scout, he used his belt buckle to reflect sunlight into the sky. And that's how he caught the attention of Indiana Jones, a.k.a. Harrison Ford, who was an avid helicopter pilot. I didn't know that he was a helicopter pilot,
too. So he was flying above him and just happened to be in that location when the boy was reflecting the sunlight with his belt buckle?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. You want to talk about guardian angels working overtime on this deal.
And get this, Harrison Ford, I mean, he called it in and then he landed his chopper and safely flew the kid back to his troop
25
years ago.
How cool is that?
I know. And then I started looking a little bit more into this about Harrison Ford being a volunteer rescue pilot. It turns out the year before, in 2020, Harrison Ford, he assisted another rescue, and this time it was a climber who suffered from altitude sickness climbing the Table Mountain in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Well, during that rescue, Ford helped the hiker into his helicopter. So again, he landed his helicopter when he spotted the hiker and then flew that hiker to the area hospital.
I have never heard this before. I haven't heard any of these stories
before. I'm just thinking, Han Solo, Indiana Jones.
Would be so cool. I would lose my mind. I want to go get lost right now just so Harrison Ford can come and find me.
Well, I know I've read how recent years now he's kind of had to trade in his flight licensing because he is getting up there.
He's getting up there, but that's all right. The older the violin, the sweeter the music.
But you know what he replaced it with?
Motorcycle.
Mountain biking. He does all kinds of
cycling.
BA.
So, he is so BA.
Just when you think you know it all about our Hollywood actors and actresses, I just had to share that sometimes Hollywood prevails. All right, crew, we're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, I've got a story you're going to want to hear about, especially if you own property.
Are you talking squatters' rights?
We're dealing with squatters.
Oh, this is going to get everybody amped up.
You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this. Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Video Royale sale is coming up July 27th through the 31st, followed by the Bighorn Classic. To consign to the Bighorn Classic, cattle need to be cataloged by July 31st and videos need to be submitted by August 7th. Again, July 31st for the catalog and August 7th for the videos to consign to the Bighorn Classic. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
Crew, this is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Check this out, coming in 2026. RanchChannel.com proudly launches the Sales Series, your inside track to the world of livestock and ranching excellence. From elite bulls, heifers, and horses to the land and equipment, products, and programs shaping the future of agriculture, we bring you the stories behind the operations, the vision behind the genetics, and the focus that can elevate your herd. Whether you're building, expanding, or fine-tuning your ranch, dive deeper into the innovations and livestock programs changing the game. The Sales Series, only on RanchChannel.com, where smart ranching starts.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. Now, when I saw this news article cross my desk, I had to share it with all of you, because if you're like myself, I own property, Tigger owns property. Wow, when it comes to squatters, I had no idea. Listen to this. A New York farmer is fighting to reclaim part of his cornfield after a neighbor claimed ownership through a legal process known as adverse possession, often called squatter's rights. A little back history for y'all. The parcel in the case is a 300-acre farm that was leased by the brothers in the 1970s up until 2009, when the landlord offered to sell the ground. They purchased the property, continuing to farm the ground. Directly adjacent to the 300-acre farm sat a private residence, an older but well-maintained home on a 2.5-acre lot. The house was fronted by a highway and surrounded on three sides by the Hoskins' newly acquired farmland. Stan Hoskins, one of the brothers that purchased the property, 79, says what started as a small garden crossing onto his property gradually expanded over the years. According to Hoskins, the neighbor added a fence, a greenhouse, and several maple trees, eventually taking over about 60 feet of the field. The man the Hoskins purchased the farm had property line disputes with the owners of that house, according to Hoskins. When they went from being a tenant to being an owner, the property line dispute became theirs. The Hoskins thought basic reason and decency would solve things, but were dead wrong. Instead, they walked into a wall of entitlement. When the Hoskins asked the neighbor to remove the structures in 2024, the neighbor argued the land now belonged to him under adverse possession laws. Those laws can allow someone to gain ownership of property if they openly use it for a certain period of time and meet specific legal requirements, which vary by state. The dispute has led to an expensive court battle. Hoskins says he has spent over $75,000 in legal fees trying to recover the land. He even offered a compromise that would allow the garden to remain temporarily while preventing future ownership claims, but the offer was rejected, and the case is now scheduled to go before a judge before the end of this month. Now, the Hoskins themselves, they hope that this experience serves as a warning to other landowners, and their advice is, don't ignore small property line disputes because they can grow into costly legal battles over time.
I think the one that is almost more important than that is I think so many states need to go back and revisit these whole squatter right things. I think they're the dumbest thing ever. But yeah, a lot of states have these certain laws that you said if somebody takes possession of something for X amount of time and shows whatever they need to show that they can maintain the property. So all of a sudden it's theirs.
I was looking into this. How crazy is the state we are in is 20 years. That if somebody is and can show that they've actively been on this said property, it's 20 years. But in other states, that's why you really need to check your state, is that it can be as little as 30 days.
Are you kidding me? Okay, so wait a minute. So on my property, on our family's property, it's the old abandoned farmhouse is on there. My folks have moved to town. Beck and I aren't out there, but we own the property. But the abandoned farmhouse is still there. So you're saying that in our state, it's 20 years. If somebody would move into that house and try to maintain it, and if they did for 20 years, it would become theirs?
Correct.
And they weren't
trying to hide it either. They're getting mail there. They've written it down as that's their residence.
And in some states, you said it's as little as 30 days. Somebody can move onto a property, claim it is their. I so want to say some things, but I can't because we'll get taken off the air. They would be naughty.
Well, and that's where the issue comes in. I found out with the police. A lot of times people go and say, well, why won't they evict him? I went to the police. Well, the reason why is because of these different jurisdictions per state.
Uh-huh.
Some states, it might be 30 days. And then at 30 days, you still have to go through the legal process, you know, of getting them evicted off of said property. So there's a lot that goes into it. And then when you think about the squatters that you see on public property, like the police really can't tell them to go anywhere because it's public jurisdiction. So now it's above the police's,
pay grade.
No, there needs to be, in my opinion, too, an overhaul on this whole squatters' rights.
So where the disconnect is coming in is, number one, the fact that this can take place in the first place. And number two, who has jurisdiction over when an eviction can take place? Meaning, is it the local police? Is it, you got to get a county mountie out there? I mean, what do you got to do? Get the National Guard out there?
It's
kind of wild.
Right, where you're saying, is this a civil versus a criminal case, right? If people are squatting and staying on someone's property. But just doing some more searching and reading about this, they talk about that if the occupants present have any evidence that they are legally allowed to be there, say maybe they've had some bills sent to that location and they've paid them, Then all of a sudden it
But how could that be legal? I don't understand that. That somebody, like, I'm using our place. I'm sorry, babe. I'm getting amped up here. I'm using our place as an example. So if somebody would come in and move into that house, which I can see that there's still electricity there. So if they would get their mail there or start getting bills sent there after X amount of time, now legally it becomes theirs.
Well, that's why they're, think about it. This gentleman has been in battle for years over this issue, and he has spent over $75,000 trying to get an individual to give him 60 feet back for his garden. Can you imagine if you had somebody living in an abandoned house
or something?
But
yeah.
Ways around that, of course, is where you always say, you know, you think about putting up no hunting signs and such. People really need to have no trespassing signs. That's the key to a lot of this, is if you have property, is to make sure you have signs all
that
over
no
the
trespassing.
State. No trespassing.
And I know even on that fact, when you do go and post your land like that, it even comes down to what is the distance between those signs. I know that, I mean, it's all sorts of little loopholes that we have in laws, but I know we ran into that situation or heard stories about that. In fact, I think you shared stories about that in the past, where there was a maximum distance between the signs that were posted on property until you needed to have another one that said no trespassing. And
that's correct.
Things were getting thrown out because it needed to be so far and you didn't. And well, there's that law.
Well, every state has different laws. So it's actually kind of glad we're doing this. Hunting season isn't that far away. So this drops into that category too, as you're thinking about your property out there. Just like you said, Tigger, yes, we live in a state where no hunting signs have to be X amount
have
of feet between one another, and you can use no trespassing as well. They can say no trespassing, no hunting, private property, regardless, any of that signage has to be up so many feet in between. Now, you have to also check with your state, because some states will allow you, and you've maybe seen this driving through the prairie, people just take tires, hang them on fence posts and write no hunting
or no trespassing.
Some states allow that. Some states do not. Some states require you to have your name and a date or your name and a contact phone number on said sign when you hang it up for your property.
You know, I'm glad that you brought this up, because I didn't know that states were different. I thought there was a universal law, so naughty me for my ignorance on that. But this is a good reminder. I think that people need to know what the laws actually are, especially if you are an absentee landlord like we are, you know, from one outfit. We're about 40 miles where we live now compared to where our land is, where I grew up.
Well, how many people, though, think about it recreational-wise, their cabin, whether it's at the lake or their hunting cabin, we're talking is in another state. They're hours away.
I didn't even think about that.
There's all different circumstances, and that's why actually states, because these squatter rights are so confusing and difficult and hard to resolve, that they're actually, a lot of states, for example, like Florida, Illinois, they've been cracking down on this whole squatter thing because it's become more of an epidemic than people realize.
So if somebody has some stories that you'd be willing to share with us that we can share with all of you, we'd love to hear about them. If you've ran into this situation or had something happen, we'd love to hear about them. Beck, what's the phone number and the email one more time?
Yes, absolutely. You know I love a good discussion whenever I can get one going. So yes, call or text us, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. All right, crew, this has been a great topic as always, but we're going to take a short break because we've got more of the Bend Show right after this.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Welcome back to the Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. We heard from one of you. I just had this sent to me from Dan down in Florida. He said, here is a summer tip for your trip. Visiting recently high-trafficked areas, just so you know, usually your cell phone service is zero, right? If it's highly trafficked, you're at a big stadium, or say, you know, you're in the backcountry in Yellowstone. Well, Dan said recently they went to Yellowstone and luckily they had bought, who would have thought about this? They bought walkie-talkies before they headed out, thinking more or
good
less
idea.
Just have fun with the kids. But this is what actually what ended up happening, because Yellowstone is such a popular location. Cell phone service is sketchy in the first place, so towers are overloaded if you do get service. He said the husband, he would pull up, drop off the family. Then they would take the wife. His wife would take one of the walkie-talkies. He would then go park a car, which is could be, who knows, it could be a half mile away where he had to park. But then she was able to talk to him on the walkie-talkie to let him know exactly where they were.
Who knew those little Star Wars or G.I. Joe walkie-talkies would come in handy one more time?
I sat here shaking my head going, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. I mean,
and they're not expensive. You can get a pair of them for like $30, $40 or something.
And think about what kid doesn't want to have a walkie-talkie and they're out in the wilderness?
Right? I want to do that now.
And I will say, though, I do take walkie-talkies also when I go on cruise ships, because depending if I want to pay for the Wi-Fi or not or the cell phone service, walkie-talkies work great me as a group there, too.
So do you use 10 codes when you're talking on your walkie-talkie?
Oh,
do you say
gosh.
Over? Yeah, this is Beck. This is my location. Over. No.
You know what? We're just
I just want to
going to change gears completely, okay?
What else you got?
It's the end of summer. It's the end, not the end of summer, but end of July. Let's have some fun here, okay? Tigger, here's one for you. Which fruit takes the crown as America's most popular red fruit consumed
watermelon.
During the summer?
Watermelon.
Wrong. Strawberries. All right, next question. What favorite icy summer treat, typically eaten in July, got its start when an 11-year-old boy accidentally left his soda powder and water mixture outside in freezing temperatures.
Popsicle.
Good one. Yes, the popsicle.
I used to do that with snow. I mean, they would make a slushy, but I would take snow and then put like orange juice over it in the wintertime and I have my own little slushy.
Oh my gosh, that's smart.
I am a genius.
You are. You are. All right, here we go. Ooh, we see these around all the time right now. Honeybees. Have you ever thought about this? How many eyes does a honeybee have?
Is this a multiple choice or I just got to guess?
You got to
no,
just guess.
No, there's a lot. They have a bunch of eyes in their ocular canal. 100 plus.
Okay, that you're way out there, but Nice work there, Tigger. But I'm going to rein you back in. They have five. They have two big compound eyes.
No,
and three
they don't.
Smaller
they got a whole bunch of them.
Tigger, I'm all right. Next time, I'm going to use my macro lens on my camera. I'm going to show you. Okay.
I think I got a whole bunch of eyes.
All right. How about this one? Because it's been so toasty outside. What U.S. location holds the record for the hottest temperature ever recorded on Earth? And that was 134 degrees Fahrenheit.
They just talked about this on the news the other day, because where we're at, we've had several 100-degree days. It's Death Valley. I don't know when, but I know it's in Death Valley.
Yes. Death Valley, California. They hit 134 degrees on July 10th, 1913.
That's crispy.
All right, here's one for you. You said watermelon earlier. How many varieties of watermelon are there, Tigger? 25, 500, or 1,000?
I know there's quite a few, and there's more than just like seeded and seedless. I'm going to say 25 because I know you can get watermelons in different colors. I think you can have them.
There's over 1,000 varieties of watermelon. Next time you go to one of those farmers markets, everyone's going to be going, whoa, how many watermelons are there? All right, here's one for the movies because it's that time of year. Which classic movie features a great white shark terrorizing a beach town?
Oh, come on. Jaws.
There you go.
Come on, it's classic.
Okay, how about this one? What movie is about kids attending a summer camp and they switch places?
The kids Parent Trap? Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going one with Sandlot.
Oh, that is a great family night movie. All right, folks, let's call this show wrapped for this week. And as I mentioned earlier, we love hearing about your thoughts, your concerns, especially if there's something we need to know about out in the field. If you reeled in that biggin' and we want to hear about it, you can call or text us 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to find past episodes, you can find them all on our website, thebendshow.com. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch back if you can next week on The Bend.